All too often we see addiction simply as a problem of a habit. We are not aware sometimes of what is going on when we want to exercise that habit, to express that habit, that we've already become suspicious of God, that we are already dealing with emotional pain from something that happened long ago and that was triggered today by an event that was quite minimal by comparison, but it triggered something big. We need to become aware of these things so that we know what's going on when we really want to do our stuff. This is Colin Cook, and this is How It Happens. We're talking about the gospel, and we're doing it topic by topic for the while, and we are on the topic of I believe, but I'm addicted. So stay tuned and you'll learn some new things today that will help you on your way. Recognizing then that addiction on the spiritual level is our suppression of God, even while we're Christians, we have a tendency to suppress Him because we're afraid of Him, we're afraid of His judgment, we're afraid of His what appear to be demands that we cannot fulfill. We suppress Him, we therefore leave ourselves in darkness and emptiness, the void, and then we take our addiction to fulfill what only God can fulfill, so that we put on our addiction qualities of the divine. Recognizing all of that, let's look at the other factors, the psychological factors. And to do this, I want to help you to see three factors altogether in addiction. One, spiritual delusion, which we've already talked about, but we'll say a little bit more about in a minute. Spiritual delusion. Two, emotional wounds. And three, escape from pain. All addiction involves these three: spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, escapes from pain. What is this spiritual delusion? Of course, I've already talked about it, but let me remind you one more time. I do not have, even as a Christian and a believer, a proper view of God. I have a fearful view of God. Why? Because my human nature is broken. I have to overcome that fear of God. I have a fear that He will judge me, that He doesn't love me, that He doesn't love me enough, or that He doesn't care about my issues. I have a fear that He will poke me endlessly with His accusations. I have a belief that it is very easy for God to give up on me. Now, all of these are unspoken beliefs. I don't articulate them to myself, just as I did a moment ago to you, but it's a sneaky attitude in my mind. Why? Because, as I have already said, I am filled with guilt and shame and fear. That's what my human nature is all about. That spiritual delusion, when I have a strong urge within me to sin, will also mount in its enormity in my mind as something terrifying. God is now even far more angry with me than I ever thought He would be because of the problem I have, or the sin problem I have, or the addictive drive that I have in my mind. And so it is essential for me to know what I've already spoken about, that God reconciles me even while I'm an enemy, that in Christ I am counted as whole, that God declares innocent the wicked and the ungodly. Remember those two verses, Romans 5, verse 10, and Romans 4, verse 5. God reconciles us while we are enemies, and God declares innocent, or justifies, the ungodly. Those verses reveal the truth about God's heart, that he is wondrously kind, enormously compassionate, beyond anything we can imagine, and we can fling ourselves upon him without fear of being rejected. But then the emotional wounds. There is no man or woman on earth who is addicted who does not have emotional wounds from childhood. They may be physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse. In some way, something went wrong that froze you up as a child in fear and pain. It may have been even physical conditions. I have polio in my right leg. I know that that can, and I got that when I was a year old. I know that that contributed to some extent to my emotional wounds, because gradually I became embarrassed by myself as a young child, embarrassed by my polio and my thin leg. And I covered my body and I was ashamed of it, for no good reason, of course, but there it was. Now, it may be that your physical abuse or the emotional abuse from an abusive parent or a molestation from a neighbor or some family member led you to freeze up, to lock down, and to stay arrested in your growth to this very day. Now, when I say arrested, that is paused and stopped, your growth stopped, how is that? What is the process by which that works? Well, what we do instead of dealing with the issue of our pain, because we're too young, we're children, we have no clue on how to work with it, we do something else to replace that pain, to forget that pain or to escape that pain. That may be an innocent thing at first, but as we grow, and especially as we move into puberty, that thing by which we escape becomes more elaborate, often becomes, of course, sexual. And so what happens when we have arrested growth is that we have blocked the processing of that pain and just filled it with something else. And that's why it's arrested. That's why we do not go through the process of growing beyond it, because we keep escaping from it and from facing it. And the thing that we escape from, of course, becomes a problem in itself. Maybe it costs us money to escape from it. That is, our method of escape might be expensive, or maybe it is time-consuming. It takes time from our studies or our work or our family. And so over a period of time, the escape mechanism, or the object of escape rather, develops what we call a life of its own. Now, when a thing develops a life of its own, it's essential for me to keep it secret, because it would be embarrassing if somebody else knew about it. And thus, to become secretive, I also become deceptive. I have to not exactly overtly lie, but just, you know, say some indirect truths. How was your day? Oh, okay, thanks. Oh, where have you been? Oh, I've just been busy at work. These are not direct lies, of course, but they are necessary deceptions to keep the life of its own escape active. I have to keep it going, but it's an embarrassing secret, so I have to deceive in order to keep it going. Which can lead then to manipulation in many cases, because if my secret activity involves somebody else, then I have to manipulate that other person or manipulate circumstances in order to get my need fulfilled. And so, we have spiritual delusions, which are then worsened by the emotional wounds and all of that need to escape from both the delusions about God, the fear of Him, and the emotional wounds create a very urgent need to escape from pain. So there you have those three factors that require a lot of deception, many instances actual manipulation, in order to keep them, to keep the escape from pain going. How do I then start facing this? I'm telling you, friends, you're not going to believe me. I know you're not, but do believe if you can. And I know you can as well. And it is what I have already said. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation. Yes, you're broken down. Yes, you're escaping from pain, from the pain by these methods and these addictive forces. Yes, you're having to be secretive, deceptive, and all of this makes you feel so wrong. And therefore, the inclination is to suppress God even more. But then comes the truth that our God has said, I do not condemn you. Our God has said, I reconcile you to myself in my Son, even while you are an enemy. Our God has said, I treat you as innocent, even though you are ungodly. Remember again, Romans 4 verse 5 and Romans 5 verse 10. And we start having the courage to talk to God in every state of addiction. We do not put our addiction up before God as a great mountain that will separate us from Him. We say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this mountain is removed. Doesn't mean to say that you have overcome that addiction, but it means to say that that addiction no longer has the power to separate you from God. You start your soul up again. You start it winding up again. You start moving forward in openness and light before God, in conversation with Him, and slowly you are beginning to see that the addiction does not have the force and power that it had before. Just a couple of weeks away now from the next seminar on Saturday, the 25th of October. And what we're going to do is to expand on what we're talking about on the radio here. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. Asks, what life sucks while I'm trying to believe? Well, all right. What we're going to do then is explore the various ways our faith in Christ can know grace in chaos and respond to life issues like, I believe, but where is God? Or I'm mad at God? Or my life makes no sense? Or I worry all the time? Or I can't stop doubting? Or why all this suffering? How many times has our faith hit the rocks? Well, because of the rocks, because of the other stuff. Faith often is overwhelmed by the other stuff until it knows the truth about God, the truth about Jesus, the truth about grace. That's what we're going to learn, how to speak up, how to talk into these things and not let them talk into us. Okay, so Saturday, the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, 9:30 till 3 with a break for lunch. We're at La Quinta Inn. La Quinta Inn in Lakewood, that's 7190 West Hampton Avenue in Lakewood on the South Frontage Road. And if you can bring a donation, please help the ministry. If you could manage $60 to $100, it would be wonderful. But don't worry if you can't, bring whatever you can. And even if you can't bring anything, it's okay. Bring yourself. I look forward to seeing you then. Looking forward to seeing many of the regular friends and also some new ones. It'll be great to meet you. I'll see you next time, and I'll see you at the seminar. Cheerio, and God bless.